The Holy Gospel according to the Gospel of John, the 13th chapter. Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. But the devil had already put into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who is bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. Are you clean, though not, and you are clean, though not all of you?" For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason, he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, the servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Well, many of you, I hope, have had a positive internship experience sometime in your life. An internship, maybe it was for a job or for school, or for some other life-related thing. An internship where you met maybe one or two really solid mentors who taught you a lot about a certain vocation or a life skill. My internship at St. Mark's Lutheran Church in San Francisco for being a pastor was one of those amazing year-long internship events that taught me a lot. And one of the strong mentors that I encountered during this internship was Pastor Lyle Beckman. Pastor Lyle is an ordained pastor with the ELCA, but his congregation is by far the most unique. Lyle works for the San Francisco Night Ministry, an organization that has existed for 52 years this year. And the purpose of the San Francisco Night Ministry is simple: provide pastoral care and God's love, especially during the times of night, that is midnight to 7 a.m., when city services and other shelters are not readily available to the people on the streets. So every night, 365 days a year, one or two night ministers and a handful of night volunteers answer phone calls in the night ministry office and walk the streets of San Francisco, talking to people who are homeless, who are drunk coming out of the bars, who are scared, who are high, who are lonely, and everything in between. Pastor Lyle is an amazing person, and he has a bunch of stories. And one of Lyle's most incredible stories that he told me was a few years back, he got a call from a woman who called the night ministry office and said that her boyfriend was abusing her. And so Lyle understandably told this woman, "Well, we're not the police, and if you are in the midst of immediate danger, they are the ones who you need to call." But She explained that her boyfriend was an undocumented immigrant, and she had fears that calling the police would get him deported. So thus, after much time assessing the situation, Lyle reluctantly went over to the apartment. Except it wasn't really an apartment at all, but a room that was probably being rented out illegally, because the only access to this room was through a window, through a crawl space in the back alleyway. So Pastor Lyle, who weighs about 250 pounds or so, not the smallest guy in the world, crawled his way into this room, in which he discovers this woman and her boyfriend standing on opposite ends of the room, red-faced, hoarse from yelling at each other, staring at him. And Lyle said that he just stood there for a minute, and he really didn't know, like, have a plan as far as, like, what he was going to do when he got there. So there was this kind of moment of, like, silence. In fact, the boyfriend kind of crossed the room and said, "Who the bleep are you?" And he kind of stood there for a minute, and then he finally acted on a thought that just popped into his head. He said, "Well, I'm Pastor Lyle, and I was called by your girlfriend to help. Could I get a glass of water? We live in an age of quick judgment and accusation. Maybe that's why I can't help but read our gospel story this morning of Jesus washing his disciples' feet with this lens. Because to me, what is most striking is the setup for what should have been, I think, a showdown, right? After all, Jesus knows everything, knows that the hour has come to depart from this world, has arrived, that he loved his own to the end, and now, finally, the devil had put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. So when I read this, it shocks me. Why would anyone do what Jesus did next, knowing what he knows? Consider our own day and age, right? I've got the evidence. It's a leak. It's the smoking gun or the incriminating trove of emails. We fully expect, perhaps, Jesus to stand up at the table and announce that this is all a fraud. I know it. You know it. I've got the evidence to prove it. We want him to call Judas out and say, "Liar, betrayer," maybe some other words that are not family appropriate. And I have to be honest, maybe a piece of me would like Jesus to do so, to be the divine whistleblower. And yet, Jesus does something else, doesn't he? He gets a bowl of water and washes some feet. Instead of exposing their hearts, not Judas's or even Peter's, Jesus reveals himself as the one who loved his own to the end, even becoming a servant, knowing full well the mixed motives of his disciples. And the action then of Jesus washing his disciples' feet throughout the centuries is seen as many things: ultimate love, humility, model for all of us to emulate, etc., etc. But all of these things I think are true. But the interesting part for me that I've been kind of holding on to this week is that Jesus just doesn't pull all these things out of thin air, right? He doesn't just say, "Okay, well, go love one another. See you later. We're going to go to Jerusalem now." Like, instead he uses the water as a vehicle. As a vehicle to first disarm the disciples' anxiety and then show them the pinnacle of what it means to be a human being. Water is used here, I believe, to get past the motives and the judgment and go straight to the heart. Turns out the boyfriend was surprised by Pastor Lyle's question of some water just as Pastor Lyle was coming up with it. He stuttered a bit and he said, sure. And after getting what Pastor Lyle described as a mug with half a handle broken off, he sat in a lawn chair because that was one of only two pieces of furniture in this room. And he finally figured out, well, I got to talk with both of these folks at this alone. So he asked to speak with the boyfriend separately. And the boyfriend, he noted, also got a glass of water to drink and sat by him. And so began a conversation of struggle, of hardship, and perseverance, which the boyfriend seemed very appreciative to tell anybody. Lyle found out a few things that night, he said. The first was that actually, in his talking with both of them separately, he found out that the girlfriend used the calling of the police and the possible deportation as a threat method. She used it many, many times, especially when they were in an argument. And what Lyle could tell, she hung it over the man's head repeatedly, and it was getting to him. And she later explained to him in private that she wasn't being abused, as she had said on the phone, but that she had called the night ministry in order to scare the boyfriend even more. "I didn't, I'll admit, expect you to actually come," she said. "I called you because I wanted him to be afraid, because I was mad." So Lyle, after drinking a glass of water with each person separately, finally mediated a conversation together where many of these things came out from what he thought might have been the first time that they had come out with one another in their relationship. And at the end, at about 3:30 a.m., both had tears in their eyes, apologies were eventually said, and even they had a group hug before Lyle took his leave and crawled out of the room. Water can be a powerful tool to cross the boundary of judgment and of motive. I particularly have been struggling with this story since last night, since the atrocities in Charlottesville, Virginia, a gathering in the name of bigotry, in the name of white supremacy, in the name of racism. A gathering that has no place, I believe, in our country and has no place in our faith. You see, I believe that Jesus comes down very simply on a two-sided argument that all people are children of God, and racism and bigotry and the totality of people being killed in the name of racism has absolutely no place in this faith, in Christianity, and in our country. And it is our duty as Christians, I believe, to stand up and to name and call out this in every way we possibly can. But here's where I think this story can come into play as well. Because if we speak truth to power, which we are called as people of faith, I believe, to do, to call out racism and to call out white supremacy, but if we do that in the name of just in and forgetting the humanness of the other side, then we are doing exactly what the other side is doing. So maybe we do need the gift of water. We do need the gift of washing each other's feet to see our own humanness in this before we speak that truth which we are called by our faith to do. So in my opinion, the good news of this gospel story is not just the fact that Jesus was the ultimate servant. The good news is Jesus taking some water and instead, right away, accusing and screaming, he chooses to acknowledge the humanness of each and every person in that room. What would this world look like if water was present in accusation? If a moment of pause and acknowledgement of all of our humanness was present before the accusal and the judgment and the disagreement, what other outcomes would we come to in this world? May you hold that truth this week. I know I will. And may you be blessed in knowing that you are valued. Every person is valued by God as a total person. And that maybe our practice of acknowledging this fact in one another can be huge. One glass of water, one basin of water at a time. Amen. Thank you.